This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Well, the chocolate eggs may have all been eaten now, but in church life, we'll be in the season of Easter for almost 40 days more, so I can continue to wish you all the joys of this special time that celebrates the fact that Jesus Christ, Son of God, who was crucified and died on Good Friday, rose from the dead and calls us now to share in that everlasting life. And we can continue to sing the great Easter hymns that celebrate the message that's at the heart of our Christian faith. This joyful Eastertide, sung there by the Huddersfield Choral Society. We're starting today's programme with a return visit of Reverend Steve Ingruel from Onchan, who joined us in early March just as he'd returned from a sabbatical visit to Israel and Palestine. Every 7 years, Methodist ministers are encouraged to take a sabbatical, a couple of months away from their churches, to do something that'll enrich their ministry but would be impossible to do at the same time as their regular parish duties. The Holy Land is a place of deep significance to Reverend Steve Ingruel. He has led numerous pilgrimages there over the years, so it was hardly surprising that Steve chose to spend his time in Israel and Palestine during his recent sabbatical, spending time with various groups and organisations working for peace who are supported by the Methodist Liaison Office in Jerusalem. But the end of Steve's second visit brought him alarmingly close to the reality of life in Israel. He was midway between Jerusalem and Hebron when the first sirens were heard as Iran retaliated against US-Israeli attacks, and he then spent the next 36 hours in and out of bomb shelters, making and changing travel plans before eventually leaving via Jordan, getting a flight to Gatwick, and safety. But today, Steve's back with some sabbatical stories, finding God not just in holy places, but in the people dedicating their lives to finding justice and building a lasting peace.
On a cold and windswept hillside outside Bethlehem, I paused from my work. It was with an aching back that I leant on the hoe in my hand, looking out across the hills. A distant rumble reached us, but this was not thunder. It was the echo of yet another missile strike landing in Gaza, 45 miles away. The Danish student next to me looked up briefly from her work, weeding the soil. So much for supposed ceasefire, she muttered, and got back to her labour. The date of this journal entry is Saturday the 10th of January. I was staying at the Tent of Nations at the start of my first solidarity trip that I was taking during my sabbatical. After leading many pilgrimages to the Holy Land as part of my ministry over the past 10 or so years, this was going to be a very different tour, and as I returned to clearing the scrub and the bushes from my designated section, I reflected on the prayer that I had offered early that morning, knelt at the Holy Sepulchre, the site of Jesus' empty tomb. Lord, help me to find you not just in the places, but in the people, not so much in the rocks and the mortar, but in the living stones I shall encounter this week. It felt really good to be physically working the land at the start of this trip. There was a deep satisfaction that came from doing something, however small that something was, to support the Nasser family, the only Christian family to remain in that region. We were clearing this section of land in order to create a natural firebreak in case of further arson attacks against the farm. The burnt stumps of gnarled olive trees just above us provided a stark reminder of how necessary this work was, whilst the fresh growth sprouting from those same stumps also gave signs of hope, the trees themselves standing as a symbol of what the Arabs call samud, a word that means steadfast perseverance and resilience. Over a coffee break, I was told of the importance of the international presence there at the farm, how the attacks on the property are noticeably reduced as a result of international guests being with them. Although the attacks are never totally eliminated, just the previous week before I arrived, a fire had been lit at the entrance to their property. I was also told about how maintaining and cultivating the land is essential to maintaining the family's ownership. There is a rule that uncultivated land can be reverted to state land after 3 years of not being tended, and for the Nasser family is a very current and real concern. As I was shown around the farm, we saw how it was surrounded by illegal settlements on all sides, including a brand new outpost pressed tight up against the fence. As we gazed out over the apricot orchard on the other side of the valley, we saw a road that connected one of these settlements to the main highway, bisecting their land and making it impossible to reach the orchard and tend to the trees. The family have recently won a legal battle to have this road removed, but there's been no action taken to implement that court order, and time under the 3-year rule is running out. Legal petitions are still being filed today. As I returned to creating the firebreak and the sun began to set, I reflected on the harsh reality of living surrounded by approximately 70,000 settlers, nearly the entire population of the Isle of Man, settlers who want you to go. The Nasser family and the ever-changing community of international volunteers live day by day with the words of Psalm 27 in their minds, as well as being painted on a board in the chapel cave that is on the farm. The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life, whom shall I fear? After breakfast the following morning, I saw a painting on the wall of the courtyard, which I believe sums up this place and these incredible people. It says this: peace is not something you wish for. It is something you make, something you do, something you are, and something you give away. Give peace away today. As I left the Tent of Nations, I was deeply aware that although this is only one of the many projects that the Methodist Liaison Office in Jerusalem stand alongside of and support in Israel and Palestine, and the first that I had met on this solidarity trip, my prayer in the Holy Sepulchre that morning was already being answered in Dawood Nassar and his family, and in the volunteers who freely give their time and their energy to support and protect them. The risen Christ is truly present today. My prayer on the sabbatical solidarity trips to the Holy Land, my prayer to find Christ in the living stones, continued to be answered throughout my time visiting the projects that are supported by the Methodist Liaison Office in Jerusalem. I found Christ present in the work of Zugbi and WIAM, the Palestinian Conflict Transformation Centre, a centre which is located on the edge of the Aida refugee camp, under the shadow of the separation wall just outside Bethlehem. In their ministry as peacemakers, tackling domestic violence, in being mediators between creditors and debtors, of assisting in will arbitrations, and also in their dedication, their work to improve the quality of life for all around them, including those in the Aida refugee camp. They host parties for children, and increasingly they provide care packages of food, blankets and heaters, alongside campaigning for more job creation to provide dignity, as well as income, to those who need it most. I found Jesus present in the hospitality that was shown to us by the resident of Aida refugee camp, who welcomed us into his home, offered us tea, and spoke movingly of the pressures and the challenges of raising a family in such a place. The times when his children were sent to school with raw onions in their pockets. It sounds very strange to us, but biting into a raw onion is the quickest way to mitigate against the immediate effects of tear gas. He spoke of his hope that his children may find a way to leave the camp one day and have a quality of life that he and his wife have never been able to enjoy. I found Christ present in the courage and bravery of Rabbis for Human Rights, a group who stand in solidarity providing physical protective presence for Palestinian villages, placing themselves in danger as they stand up to settler violence. These rabbis campaign relentlessly for human rights and freedom for all. I found Christ present in the lawyers who used to work for Adamir, who are now voluntarily continuing to provide legal aid and advocacy for the thousands of Palestinians currently imprisoned without trial. This number includes over 300 children and 800 women. These lawyers campaign for international human rights monitoring to be permitted within those prisons, and in their steadfastness in continuing this work without any means of payment, as their bank accounts are frozen and grants become unobtainable, it was inspirational and deeply moving. I found Christ present in the conversation I had with a former leader of the First Intifada, as he was sat next to a Jewish rabbi, sharing his journey of moving from a place of hatred to a position of peace, and hearing of his current work as co-founder of Roots, a group which uses land from his family farm to provide a space where Palestinian villagers and Israeli settlers can meet and can discover each other's common humanity and shared connection to the one land. I found Christ present in the work of Echo Peace, as their Israeli, Jordanian and Palestinian offices come together with a joint concern for the just and equitable sharing of natural resources and care for the environment. In their recognition that nature knows no boundaries, in their care for creation, they have found a cause that can unite across borders and bring peace through cooperation as all are dependent on the same air and the same water. I found Christ present in the ministry of Musahala, a ministry which seeks to invite people into a model of humanity where all are equal and none are oppressed. Modelling and calling others into not just reconciliation, but Israeli and Palestinian, Jew, Christian, Muslim, calling people together into active participation in what they term non-violent co-resistance. I found Christ present in the determination of Alice Kissia and her family in the Almacraw Valley, a valley on the outskirts of Bethlehem where, in the Bible, David once fought Goliath. Today, this family fights their own battles and secured a rare victory in the courts, ordering the removal of an illegal settler outpost from their land. But other battles still continue. It is in the work of these and so many others like them who seek justice, peace and reconciliation, whether they come from a Christian background, Jewish background, Muslim background, secular background, it is in this work and these people that I found the presence of the living Christ in the Holy Land today. International conflicts magnify differences between people at a local level, and I know that I'm not alone in echoing the psalmist's words, "How long, O Lord?" I have returned determined, firm in my mind, that it is now more than ever a gospel imperative for us all to do whatever we can to add our voices to those calling for a just and lasting peace, to pray and to speak and to act in whatever sphere of influence we have.
The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. Come worship. The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. The Lord is present here. Come worship.
Thank you, Reverend Steve Ingruel, who with his wife, Reverend Rebecca, are based in Onchan with the care of the Methodist churches in the east of the island. And there'll be more from Steve's sabbatical journal in a future programme. Another guest on this programme a few weeks ago was the author and broadcaster Richard Littledale, talking about his podcast's Bespoke Words. I said there was a second part, a very different part, to my conversation with Richard that we'd save for another day. And over the last couple of weeks, I've given you a few clues, and I wonder if you've any idea what we'll be talking about as we join Richard now for, at last, the full story, which is all to do with Richard's lifelong interest in model railways. As a teenager, he had a tiny N-gauge track on a bookshelf, then in later years moved to something bigger.
A few years ago, when my wife was very ill, I needed to be on hand for her. So in the loft just above the bedroom where she was, I built a model railway to a larger scale, 4 millimetres to the foot. Then when I moved house, I had to dismantle that, pack it all away. In January this year, I was looking at my coffee table and thought I could maybe put something on there. So I went to my local model shop. They said, buy a train set and then we'll help you out with the rest of it. Well, it kind of like Topsy, it grew. So I now have a little place called Cwmbach. That means Little Dale, my surname, or Little Valley in Welsh. And it's a little Welsh mountainside town with a railway and the seaside and all sorts of other things too. It keeps growing.
It seems to me, Richard, that this has got to be the basis for a podcast series, somehow the life of Cwmbach.
Oh, absolutely. And as soon as I started thinking about Cwmbach that way, now I've started to construct things almost with that in mind. I'll give you an example. I have just built from scratch half a road bridge. Now, I say half of it because it was abandoned partway through, you know, and I'm thinking, well, there was a plan to bring a road into the heart of this Welsh valley. And then either they ran out of money or somebody objected to it. And so now it's half a bridge fenced off with graffiti on it and ivy growing down it. But it's the story that fascinates me. And I can't wait to tell that story on a podcast. I want to tell you about the people who run the pub and why in their back garden there is a greenhouse so abandoned there's a tree growing out through the roof. Why did they never get around to doing anything about that? And I want to tell you about the people who live in the cottages where there's someone pegging out the washing just where the steam train goes by. So probably dirtier when it comes in than when it went out. I want to tell you about her.
These stories are not just going to be stories as such. There will be some point to them, won't there?
Being me, I've already done one episode in advance, and it's all about the war memorial that stands in the town square of Kulmbach. It just stands there, whether people look at it or not. But then I started to think, well, is it a reminder of what's gone past, or is it a prompt to think about things in the future? You know, we've all walked past a war memorial. Sometimes we stop and read the names. Most of the time we don't. But it'll stand there, come rain or shine, whether we look at it or not. And somehow, I mean, that stands probably 2 inches high, if that, that war memorial. Focusing on that tiny thing can actually be a lever to open up a really big subject, which is to do with memory and recollection and down payments for the future. And I can't wait to get started on some of the other stories.
I think it's going to spark off so much in other people's imagination. And if it just makes people value their own story, that will be something important, won't it?
Yes, in that nobody is insignificant. So I could maybe talk about the station master, but then I could talk about the person pegging out her washing. You know, both of those people will have valuable stories to tell. And somehow starting with these things that are so tiny gives a rather gentler way to talk about those big, big issues, I think. I am making it for fun. I love making it. But as it's grown, there has been this kind of organic sense of a story growing around it. So what started as a model has become a lens to look at life through. Years ago, I was interviewing a TV actress, quite a well-known one, as part of a guest evening. And I said, you know, how does your acting affect your Christian life? And she said, I don't have a Christian life. I have one life and it's all Christian. And that's so true. You know, so it's not really that I'm thinking, how can I make the God stuff out of this? In a sense, I'm the God stuff because my life belongs to him and therefore it all becomes woven together. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking at an assembly in a local independent school, and you know, I tried to bring a visual aid with me. I had a tiny figure who is no bigger than my fingertip from this railway and said, well, it's a useless visual aid, but I'll tell you about it. And I said to them, there are two reasons why I love building this railway, Kulmbach. One is that I love the creativity. But the other thing is that I love the fact it's a world that I'm in control of. You know, if I want it to be dark, I turn the light out and put the curtains over and then switch on the lights in the pub. I am in control of this little world. And actually, you know, this whole world with railways and the sea and mountains and a quarry and a castle and a church and cottages, I could pick the whole thing up in my hands, which is a reminder to me that the world I'm not in control of, God holds in his hands. And I know that, but I feel it when I'm working on this tiny little world that's mine, because actually the world that is God's, in which I am privileged to live, he holds in his hands.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
My guest this morning has been Richard Littledale. What's the simplest way of accessing your podcasts? What do we search for?
If you look for bespoke underscore words, wherever you would listen to a podcast, you will find it.
Thank you to my guests today, Reverend Steve Ingrall and Richard Littledale. And now it's time to take a look at our notice board, and we begin with news of two postponed events. The bilingual Manx English service planned for Bigarrow Chapel today has been postponed and will now take place on Sunday, April the 26th. But I'll remind you about that nearer the date. And the spring charity concert at Trinity Church at Rosemount, here in Douglas, planned for the 23rd of April, has had to be postponed due to illness. The new date is Thursday, July the 2nd. If you've already bought tickets, hold on to them because, of course, they will be honoured on the new date. And if you see any tickets or posters out and about, please help by spreading the word that the charity concert at Trinity at Rosemount is not April the 23rd, but will be taking place on the 2nd of July. Now, some things that are happening. This evening, the Mariners Choir will be in Port St Mary Methodist Church at the usual time of 6:30, with supper and community hymn singing to follow. And also tonight at 6:30, St Luke's Church in Baldwin welcome everyone to join them to listen to the Calf of Man Warden from the Manx Wildlife Trust talking about the ongoing work on the calf. Light refreshments will be served, and although it's a completely free evening, any donations to help with costs would be appreciated. And there's another opportunity to get closer to nature on our island tomorrow, Monday the 13th, at an Easter holiday coastal bird workshop and walk to Neuabil, run by Manx BirdLife in conjunction with Dorby Church. It's from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and the starting point is Dorby Schoolrooms. This is for all ages, adults and children, but all children must be accompanied by a responsible adult. Learn about seabirds, use binoculars, do creative beach activities and have snacks on the beach. £3 for children and £5 for adults. The wet weather alternative will be to do the same activities but in Dorby schoolrooms. But you do need to book in advance, and you can do that by emailing anna@manxbirdlife.im. anna@manxbirdlife.im. The very popular monthly simple lunch in the cool chapel hall is starting again this Thursday. Delicious homemade soup, bread, choice of desserts and hot drinks will be served between noon and 2 p.m. with a warm welcome for all. That's this Thursday, the 16th, in the cool hall on Cool Road above the Isle of Man Business Park. Also on Thursday, but in the evening, there's a concert in St Catherine's Church in Port Erin, given by Meadowside Choral Society, starting at 7:30 with free admission, a retiring collection, and I'm sure there'll be refreshments as well. Bride Methodist Chapel have another of their very popular lunches on Friday the 17th, and will be serving two courses with tea or coffee to follow between noon and 2 p.m. The cost is £12, and to book your places, ring or text Claire on 451 692, 451 692. Looking ahead now to next weekend, and on Saturday the 18th, there's another in this year's series of special recitals to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the Isle of Man Organists Association. In the Cathedral in Peel this coming Saturday at 3 o'clock, there'll be a recital by Dr. Peter Littman, the Cathedral's Director of Music, with free admission to a programme of music to suit all tastes, with refreshments to follow. Then, next Sunday, the 19th, there's an animal blessing service at Ballykilferrick Chapel, starting at 3 p.m. All animals and their human guardians and friends are very welcome, and I have the pleasure of being invited to lead that service. It would be lovely to see you there. Then, next Sunday evening, there'll be a Mariners service in Bride Methodist Chapel at the usual time of 6:30. Mrs. Sue Yardy will preach, and there'll be supper and community hymn singing to follow. And that's all that we have time for now, but I'll be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, and I'd love you to come and join me in our virtual lounge for a great selection of easy listening music, plus your requests and dedications. And so, till whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love all the joys and promises of this Easter season, and a very good morning.
The Nation Station.